Good morning. It's good to be with you. This morning's broadcast is brought to you by Word is Alive Ministries. This is new, and we just want to thank you for listening this morning. You can get us on Facebook at Word is Alive Ministries or our website at wordisliveministries.org. If you would like to help keep us on the air, you can contribute in any way you can. You can send it to P.O. Box 1152 in Mammoth Spring under Word is Alive Ministries. We thank you very much for that. Enough of that. Let's get to the scripture this morning. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9 is our scripture, and Hebrews is a book that was written to the Hebrew Christians. It's debated on who actually wrote this, but I believe it was Paul. Some believe it was somebody else, Peter. You can believe what you want. It's not really said at the beginning of it, but I believe it was Paul. It's not an arguing point with me. But it's about better things. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Him being the best thing. Not Moses, not angels, not anything else, only Jesus Christ. And Paul was very adamant about this, that he was always talking about that Jesus Christ and Him crucified was what he wanted to preach, what he wanted to teach, and what he wanted to focus upon. He wanted to see people saved. And this morning, that's exactly what I want for you, is you to be saved, to accept Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to live a life for Christ, because it's not just about saying I'm saved. It's about having a relationship with Him, making sure that you have that, and living the life for Jesus Christ. These people that go out there and they say, oh, well, yeah, I'm saved, and they live like the devil. Folks, you've got to wonder who they really are living for, because the Bible says we'll be known by our fruit. And we're afraid to be a fruit inspector. We're afraid somebody's going to say something about us. We need to inspect our fruit daily. But we need to know that Jesus Christ is relationship. It's not just about getting in there and saying a few words or whatever you think it is. It's about having a relationship with Him, accepting Him as your Savior, your God, placing Him over your life, and living for Him. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth on the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Folks, it's spelled out right here, and he's talking about, he says, but Christ. He's talking about all the things that were having to happen beforehand, the priests that were having to make the sacrifices, the veil that was rent when Jesus died, which the high priest had to go through, and he had to sanctify himself by making a sacrifice first, and then he would have to go in there, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat for everybody else. And he talks about all this, and he goes through it in these verses of chapter 9 before this. Then he gets to verse 11. He said, "But Christ." Folks, there is nothing but Christ anymore. You don't have to have sacrifices. You don't have to have all these things. And thank God for that. I just praise God that I don't have to have all of those sacrifices. I don't have to have all those things. I can go to Him. He has made the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. He sacrificed Himself on the cross of Calvary. He died for your sin so that you can have eternal life if you will accept the free gift of salvation. And it is free. It said, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come." He is our high priest. He is our redeemer. He's our kinsman redeemer. He is everything to us. He did it all. He fulfilled it all. He's done everything. We don't have to go to a high priest. We go to Him and Him alone. He said, "Of good things to come." He is coming back, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, in 1 Peter, it talks about, they've been talking about this for a long time, and people will say this, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ is going to come back for His own. He's going to come back, and He's going to make sure that everything is purified in this world. He's going to cleanse this world and make it right again, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It's not made with hands. It's not about a church building. It's not about us. It's not about the things that we look at. We can look at these things, and there's some beautiful church buildings, and there's some very comfortable church buildings. and all of these things. But we need to understand that that's not what this is about. It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. All of this, he said, not made of this building. It wasn't the temple. It wasn't anything else that these people would put stock in. It wasn't the tabernacle. They could look at these things and say, oh, well, you know, we go here and we go there. And you may do that too. I go here. A lot of times I'll ask people, you know, are you a child of God? And they'll go, oh, I go to this church. Well, that doesn't matter to me. I'm asking you a question. I didn't ask you where you go to church. I'm asking you, are you a child of God? Have you accepted the free gift of salvation? Have you been born again like the Bible talks about? You can go to church and that's good and the Bible talks about that, but that will not get you into heaven. You have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Once you get saved, the Bible talks, even in Hebrews it talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but that will not get you into heaven. I don't care if your grandma went there, your grandpa went there, your mama and your daddy and everybody else. You may be so tied to it, and folks, I'm telling you right now, we've got an apostate church in the United States that's more hung up on tradition and their church than they are Jesus Christ. They'd rather see a church go down than give up their old traditions. And that's what's ruining our country. That's what's messed us up. We can see it today. People have dropped out because there was nothing there for them because they don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I keep telling you when the rapture happens, and yes, I believe in that, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as what we think. I think it's going to be like Matthew chapter 7 that these people are going to say, well, I did this and I did that. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. That's going to be a sad, sad day for a lot of people, and I really feel bad for them. But folks, we've got to understand that we have to have that relationship. Not the tabernacle made with hands, not the things that we see in this world. Today, it's all wood, hay, and stubble. It could go right away. Something could happen to your church building, or something could happen to what you hold dear, and it could go quick. And it can go quick. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and gave his life so that you could have eternal life, so that you could be made right with the Father. That's what it's about. It's being about made right with the Father, because we cannot stand before him in our sinful self, and only through Jesus Christ's blood that was shed on Calvary. And that's what he says in verse 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves. It wasn't about a sacrifice animal that was brought. That's what these folks had to do. This person that wrote this, and I believe it was Paul again, knew about the Jewish law. He knew about it. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments, by the way. It was several laws. There's over 4,000. And we look at these, and he knew about these, and he wrote about them. And he knew that they knew about sacrificing goats and calves, and they knew what it was about, and they knew what each one meant, and they knew how they did it, and they knew what it was for. But he's saying this. He said, not by the blood of goats, not by the blood of calves. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you can do. It's not about being a philanthropist and giving a lot of money. It's about Jesus. It said, but by his own blood. I've got that underlined and highlighted in my Bible. Now, I don't write in every Bible I've got, but I've got Bibles. Because when I look at this, I want that to stand out, because at a time I've studied this and it just popped out to me. And so it keeps popping out to me. But by his own blood. Jesus shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary. Death was required. Man brought sin into the world. Romans tells us this. By one man, sin was brought into the world, and that man was Adam. By one man, sin was taken care of. That's Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for that. But by his blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The high priest, and he's talking about Jesus being high priest, the high priest had to do it every year. Every year he had to go in and atone for the people. The people would bring their individual sacrifices, but he would have to go in and atone for the people. And he's saying right here, he said, he's only got to do it once. That's why the curtain was rent from, and that means tore in half, if you want it. It was torn in half from top to bottom, and it was way up there. And a man could not just stand there and reach up and tear that down. God tore it apart because he said, I don't need this anymore. I don't need this holy place that's divided and away from everybody that only the high priest can go in. He said, I don't need that anymore. I've got my sacrifice. I've got the one, the only one that will ever have to be. He is it. And he's saying, it's not by these blood of these animals, of goats and calves. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he went into the holy place one time and said, this is it. This is the sacrifice. I give myself. And it was done. He said, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal. I love that word. Now, I will tell you right now, I don't fully understand it. I can't grasp it. I can't get to the point where my mind is finite, it's small, to grasp what eternity is. I mean, everything I've got, even as I preach here, I understand time is going and people are listening and probably some people are looking at their watches and things like that. I understand that. We look at these things and we know that. But this is eternal, eternity, time. That does not exist. A world without time. I can't grasp that. I don't know what that will be like, but I sure am looking forward to it. Eternal redemption. Redeeming us. Folks, you may clip coupons, and I know my wife used to clip coupons all the time, and I would kind of make fun of her, but now I go to the hardware store a lot of times, and I take a coupon with me. You know, I say, hey, I can get a bargain for this, man. I can redeem it for a certain amount of value so that I don't have to pay as much as I would have had to do. It has a value to it. I can redeem it for that value. Well, Jesus Christ redeemed us, and the value was His life. He gave His life. He redeemed us with His life. He gave Himself. That's what His value was. He gave it and He laid it down. That was the coupon and He said, this is it. I'm redeeming it. It's every bit of it. And He said on the cross, everything is finished. It is finished. He didn't have to go back. He didn't have to do it again. It was one time, and that's what this is saying. He did it one time for us. He doesn't have to do it over and over and over again. Folks, once you're saved, you've got salvation because Jesus Christ sealed you. You say, well, what about these people over here and this over here? I'm telling you right now, a lot of people that say they're saved are not saved. You better make sure that you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've seen people come forward that are older and they said, well, I just came up with a bunch of people at one time because that's what everybody was doing and I wanted to be a part of the group. I didn't want to be separated from them and I wanted to just go up here and I went through all the motions, but all the while I knew I didn't have the peace. I didn't have the life. I knew I didn't have anything. And people will tell me all the time different things about what they've done, you know, and they'll give me different answers. Well, I'll say, are you saved? And, oh, well, you know, my grandma took me forward one time. Well, did you go and accept Jesus Christ, or did you just go forward with her? Or they'll say, well, the pastor saved me. And sometimes I understand what they're saying. Pastors can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you and what He did on the cross of Calvary. I may tell you about Jesus. I may lead you down the way and show you what the Scripture says. But the Holy Spirit has to draw you and the Holy Spirit has to convict you. And you've got to admit that you know that you have missed the mark. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Everyone, for all. That little word, all, and it grabs everybody. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's everybody. Jesus said He came and died for the entire world. That's everybody. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's everybody. All have come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then He goes on in verse 13. He said, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling unclean, if it sanctified and purified that flesh for a little while, how much more so the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Folks, they were supposed to bring the best of their crop. They were supposed to bring, but what they got to do, and they got to bring in the old knotheads and the ones they didn't think were going to sell good and the ones that they didn't think were going to do anything, and they would put them, and they weren't even doing what they were supposed to do, to set them aside for a while. But God sent His only Son. Jesus Christ died on the cross without spot, without sin. He made Himself sin who knew no sin. He without spot. And what did He do? He said, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Folks, we're supposed to be serving the living God. And it's not just on Sundays. When you become a child of God, it's not just on Sundays or Wednesday night if you've got Wednesday night. It's not about that. It's about every single day. Now, you should do those things. I'm not saying not to, but I'm telling you, serving God is a lifelong commitment. It's every single day. When we get up, we commit ourselves to Christ and say, "Hey, Jesus, I want to give myself over to you. I want to let you have every single thing." It says purge. I worked in a place one time. We had these big gas ovens, and before they lit off, they would go through a cycle. And one of the cycles was a purge cycle where it would just blow as much air as it could to make sure it got everything out of there, every little contaminant that it could get out of there, so that when it lit, it wouldn't blow up, you know. It had to get it all out of there. It got all of it out, and it went through a certain cycle to do that. Jesus Christ offers purging of sin to you today. Won't you accept that free gift? He said, "I will purge you. I'll take all this away. I'll get rid of every single bit of it." Won't you give your heart to Jesus Christ? And if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, won't you commit to serve the living God, to give Him everything you got? Folks, I was taught a lot of things and growing up, but I had to study the Bible to truly learn what the Bible says. Too many have got these misconceptions about what it's about to serve God. They think, "Oh, well, if I'll just do this and I'll do that, I'm serving God." No, it's a lifelong commitment. Giving yourself to Him and saying, "Lord, I give it all over to you." I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. We do this. If you take a pie and you slice it up, you know, and you've got these slices, we do our life like that. We'll take it and we'll give these little slices, and we'll say, "Well, this slice is my career, and this slice is my spouse, and this slice is my kids, my family, and this is for my entertainment and all this." And we just give a slice. And if we've got anything left, we say, "Well, God, this is yours," but we try to take a bite out of it before we give it to Him. That's not serving God. Serving God is saying, "Lord, here's the pie. This is my life. This is everything. You divide it up. You divide it up." And I'll promise you right now, if you put God number one, your spouse will be important to you. If you put God number one, your kids will be important to you. If you put God number one, your job will be important to you. All these things will fall into place if you will put Him number one, if you'll give Him the preeminent spot, is what the Bible calls it. Number one, give it all over to Him. If you'll give it over to Him, all these things will fall into place and it will all be good. And you can say, "It is well with my soul." You can give it over to Him and know, hey, He's got it. He'll take care of it. But it takes trust. It takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that for a minute. If you don't have the faith to give your life over to Him, it is impossible for you to please Him. Nothing you do will please Him. If you can't give your life over to Him and have faith that He can handle it, you're displeasing God. If you're trying to do things on your own, you're displeasing God. If you try to say, "God, just follow me," you're displeasing Him. If you don't have that faith that you can hand it every bit over to Him and say, "This is yours and I thank you for it," do it with it what you will, you cannot please God. He said He brought Himself through His blood without spot. And He brought it and He brought it to God, the sacrifice, and said, "This is it. This is the only one they're ever going to need. This is the only one that they will ever need. It won't need anything else. There will never be another sacrifice needed for their salvation. This is it." And you rely upon that sacrifice and you say, "Lord, Lord, I give it over to you. I give my life." I've seen people come. You cannot convince me that salvation is not real. I've seen people healed of addiction and the marriages brought back together and lives amended and straightened and gone forward. And I can think of so many right now, and just a few that I tell you just were tremendous in my life. People that didn't know anything about the Bible approaching me before church with their Bible open going, "What is he talking about here? I'm studying this. I need a little help. Give me a little bit here and feed me. Feed me, Lord. Oh, give me something here, Lord." Getting into their Bible and being able to discuss it with me and talk to me about it and wanting to know more because they've been purged from their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you ever had that happen to you? Do you remember the day you got saved? You should remember the day you got saved and everything about it. You may not remember the exact day. Some people tell me I don't, and I've had people say, "Well, if you don't remember the exact day, it didn't happen." Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely does. I don't remember being born, but I celebrate my birthday every year. How about that one? All I know is somebody told me it happened, and I know for a fact that it had to have happened, or I wouldn't be here. And they've got it down on a certificate that says when I had was born, when I entered this world, when I discovered America. So as long as you remember that day and you remember what it did for you, because that's exactly what happened. Jesus Christ did something for you. You didn't do anything for Him. He took care of it. Verse 15, it said, and for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament. The mediator, that means the go-between of the New Testament. Testament means agreement. The new agreement. The one that is past the law. The law, in Galatians it talks about the law. It said the law was our schoolmaster. It pointed toward Jesus Christ. It wasn't the salvation. Wasn't the Christ, but it pointed toward Him. It told us why we needed a Savior. That's what the law told us. It showed us why we needed a Savior. It showed us where we were going wrong. It showed us where we were going right. And it said all along, you cannot do this. No one can keep the law except Jesus. No one can keep every bit of the law except Jesus. Without sin, you couldn't keep it. Everyone had messed up. All have sinned and come short of that glory of God. The law He laid down, Jesus was the only one that could keep it. He was the only one that could do it. And He's become our mediator, our go-between, our bridge to heaven, our bridge to salvation, our bridge to God, our bridge to righteousness. He has become that mediator, that in-between, the one that goes in-between and says, here it is. And I've always just imagined this when I get to glory and I stand before, and He just steps in and goes, this one's mine, and covers me up and says, He belongs to me. Don't look upon that old sinful self. That's paid for. Only look upon me, and he's my brother, my friend, my child, all of this. And that's what Jesus has said, that He's our brother, our friend, and we're part of His family. And the Bible talks about we're heirs with Him and joint heirs with Him. And He gets everything. The kingdom is His, but He died to give it to us. That's an amazing thing to me. That's an amazing thing to even think about, that He died to give me everything. I just can't imagine that anybody would do that. And the Bible talks about that. You know, maybe for a good man, somebody might die. But for a bad man, nobody's going to die for him. Nobody's going to say, hey, they're so bad they deserve a chance and I'm going to die for them. But that's exactly what Jesus did. It said, and while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He looked at us and said, they can't do it on their own. I've got to do it for them. I've got to do this. And He became our mediator, that bridge for us. And there's so many great illustrations I've seen about this. About how He bridged the gap, the one with the cross, that's great, but He bridged that gap of that new agreement. That by means of death, by His death, for the redemption of the transgressions, our transgressions, our sins, redeeming those, paying for them, giving the price that was required for them. He said, by the means of death. He had to die on a cross because death was required. But He did that. He died for our sins by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. Because of the law. Because nobody could keep it. We were condemned. We were condemned by that law. We were condemned already. Jesus told Him, He said, I don't come to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. Everybody was condemned already by the law they couldn't keep. It had already shown, that schoolmaster had already said, you don't have it. You don't have the requirements to fulfill this law. That schoolmaster of that law showed us you cannot do it. You can't do what needs to be done. Folks, failure is a tough thing to do. Failure, we look at it and we're told, oh, if you're a failure, you've messed up. And we tell our kids, oh, everybody's a winner. But, you know, failure creates something in us to let us know what we can do and what we need to work on and how we need to do it. And the law just said that we all failed with it. But what did it do? It pointed us all towards Jesus Christ and said, you can't do it, but He has already done it. He died on a cross for us. So we read that and it said, by the transgressions that were under that first agreement, He died for us. And He paid the sin debt. He became our mediator. The only one that could die for us. The only one that could fill that gap for us. Nobody else could do it. Folks, there'll be a lot of people come along and they'll tell you, well, I can do this for you, I can do that, and if you'll do this, and you'll just do this, and all these other kinds of things. They'll tell you, well, we can do this for you. If they don't say Jesus Christ and what he can do for you, they're false. They're not true. You need to let it be built upon Jesus Christ and him alone. Him alone. He said, they which are called might receive the promise. Jesus Christ made promises. One of them, he told them, he said, let your hearts not be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm just paraphrasing here, but that where you want to be, that's where I'm going to be, and you may be also. I'm doing it for you. They were all upset because Jesus had told them he was going to leave them. And they're like, why? What's going on? And he said, I got to do this for you. I got to leave you, but there's a reason for it. Because I'm going to be this mediator. There's going to be a new agreement. I'm going to pay the price for you so that you can be with me forever. Forever. That they might receive the promise. Promise of what? An eternal inheritance. I talked about that. Excuse me. That eternal inheritance. That one that can't be taken away. That one that's going to be forever. All this earth is going to be purged. Wood, hay, and stubble, that's all it is. It's nothing more than that. Wood, hay, and stubble. But he is going to make it better. He is going to make it right. That's what Hebrews is all about. It's eternal. Look at this. Eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance. Eternity. 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 Forever. Where will you spend eternity? You will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire and burned forever and ever. There is no hope of getting out of there. The rich man looked up and from his eye that he could see and he could feel. And he looked and he said, he didn't say, wait, when I get out of here. He said, no. He said, when send Lazarus, send him to my brothers so that they don't come here. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's all going to be a big party, you're wrong. It's not going to be a party. Nothing about it's going to be a party. The rich man said, I'm in torments in these flames. I need some help. I don't want to be here. But don't let anybody come here. If they could clear hell out, they'd be the greatest evangelists this world has ever known. They'd be going everywhere telling people, don't go to hell. Don't die in your sin. Have eternal life, not eternal death. Your soul is eternal. It will spend eternity somewhere. Where is it going to spend eternity? You've got to answer that question today. You can't let it go by. You can't say, well, I'll just do it later on. The obituaries are full of people that they didn't know when they were going to die because even when they were sick, they didn't know the moment. And it doesn't discriminate. If you look at a local paper or any paper anywhere and look at that column, you can see that it does not discriminate about age or race or anything else. It doesn't care. It's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. Every single one of us is going to die. Where you will spend eternity is based upon your decision to accept Jesus Christ. Do you feel that tugging on you? That's the Holy Spirit calling you saying, hey, you need to be saved. Not by what you can do, not by the figurative goats and the bulls and the blood, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll tell you, don't preach on that anymore. People don't want to hear that anymore. But it's only through Him and the blood that He gave and His death upon the cross. He died on the cross, folks. He died and they took Him down. They put Him in a rich man's tomb, but He couldn't keep Him. They came down there on the third day, and they found he wasn't there. And the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And he went and he took all those and took them captive that was waiting for him that had already died, and he took them home. The Bible tells us to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. Are you looking forward to it? Or are you kind of dreading it and you're saying, I don't know what this is going to be. I'm scared of it. You need to accept Jesus Christ today. You say, how do I do that? How do I accept Jesus Christ? Well, you come to the Bible and you got to acknowledge that you know save all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not because of what you've done. It's because of that sin nature that's within you. And know that the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to know that. You need to know and understand that. You feel that drawing, and you need to go to God, and you need to say, Lord, I understand that. And the Bible says that if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, make Him God of your life, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what you got to do. You got to take it to God and go, I know I'm a sinner and I need You. I want to make You God of my life. I want You to put You number one spot. Please. Please accept me. And said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want You to do that today. I want You to accept Jesus Christ. I want to thank You for allowing me to be with You today.